All right, good evening, everyone. Thank everybody for coming, both everybody who came for the Shaarei Teshuva as well as for this. So I'll remind everybody that we'll meet again next week at the same bat time, same bat channel. Next week we have a better chance of starting on time because Maariv will be a little bit earlier, so Shaarei Teshuva will be a little bit earlier, so this will also be a little bit on time. As opposed to a few minutes late, and I apologize, but I'll be honest with you, I expected it when I scheduled it. I figure 8:45 was late, and this way it'll be the same time all 3 weeks, so I hope you forgive me. It is, after all, that time of year. So we'll learn over the course of the next 3 weeks, three topics. Topic of Teshuvah, topic of Tefillah, and the topic of Tzedakah. That's very brilliant of me to come up with those three topics, right? But I'm sure you all know where I stole them from, right? The topic comes from our davening in the Musaf of the Yomim Noraim in the prayer of Unisane Tokef. So we all say Uteshuvah, Utefilah, Utzedakah, Ma'avirin Esroa Hagizera. Three things: Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. They blot out. They change. Everyone understand the badness of the decree. Ma'avirin es roa hagizera. And Marsha, right, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar, who lived at the end of the 1500s into the 1600s, Marsha actually carried a last name. Do we know this? Marsha carried a last name. Anybody know? Adels. Do you know why? Because when Marsha got married, his mother-in-law supported him for 20 years to learn and study and have a yeshiva, and so he took her name, Adel, as a last name. Marsha carried a last name of his mother-in-law because she supported him in study. And Marsha in Rosh Hashanah, Marsha is printed in the back of most mesechtas. All maybe? I'm not positive. Most mesechtas, Marsha is printed in the back. And Marsha in Rosh Hashanah writes that this part of the tefillah, uteshuva, utefillah, utzedakah, is based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, daf tes zayin amud beis. Let me read to you the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, daf tes zayin amud beis. This might be a good start. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, daf tes zayin amud beis, says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dalid Dvarim. I'm going to repeat that. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dalid Dvarin, Mikarin Gizardino Shelada. There are four things that tear up the decree against the person. Four things, Rabbi Yitzchak says. And what are they? The Eluhein. And these are they. Tzedakah. Tzedakah, with an ayin, which means crying, calling, screaming. Tse'aka. Where did it go? Shinoi Hashem. Changing your name. Vishinoi Maisa. And changing your actions. Four things, Rabbi Yitzchak says, are mikarin gizardino shaladam, tear up the decree against the person. Tzedakah. Tse'aka. Shinoi Hashem, and Shinoi Maisa. And then the Gemara says a little bit later on, V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say, a fifth, Af Shinoi Makom, even changing your place, changing where you are, changing your place, possibly a fifth. So our tefillah is only three. Teshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah. If you want to know what happened in our tefillah to the other two, Shinoi Hashem and Shinoi Maaseh, you'll have to look in Marsha, in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and have Tezayin Amud Beis. So you can open up a Gemara, you can open up to Marsha, and Marsha asks the Shaila. Marsha says, our tefillah is based on this Gemara. And our Gemara and our tefillah leaves out two, maybe only one. It is a Yesh Omrim, it's an argument. Right, Rav Yitzchak said four, they added a fifth, so maybe it's only one left off, but either way you do the math, something is missing out of our tefillah. Now we're going to talk tonight about teshuvah. We're going to talk next week about tefillah, and the week after about tzedakah. Where do you find teshuvah in this Gemara?
Who says that teshuva is ma'avir es roa hagezeira? Who told us? Shinoi Maaseh. Good, I agree with you. We're on the same page. The Gemara said Shinoi Maaseh. Rabbi Yitzchak said it's one of the changing your actions is one of the things that is mekarin gezardino shel adam, tears up the decree of somebody. Now, how did Rabbi Yitzchak know that that was true? So the Gemara says, where is it? Shinoi Maaseh dichsiv. How do you know that Shinoi Maaseh tears up the evil decree? Because the pasuk in Yonah says, Vayara Elohim es maaseyem uksiv vayinochim Elohim al hara asher diber lasos lahem. God saw the actions of the people of Nineveh, and he gave in on the evil that he was going to do to them, and he didn't do it. He saw the actions of the people of Nineveh. He saw that they changed their actions. They had a shinui ma'aseh. They changed their actions, and God gave in. So we see that your decree is torn up. When you have shinui ma'aseh. Now it's fascinating that the Gemara refers to teshuva as shinui ma'aseh. It's interesting when you think about it, right? If you would have asked somebody, what is teshuva? What is teshuva? You know, go pull a high school kid off the street. Zevi, I'm not going to put you on the spot. But you ask somebody, what is teshuva? What is teshuva? So you could get all sorts of responses. You know, in fact, I put that Rambam away. If you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, so the Rambam writes that when somebody wants to do teshuva, they have to say vidui. You know this Rambam? We learned it together when we learned Shari Teshuva just this past week. Right? When I want to come do teshuva, so I have to do vidui. I stand before God and I say, you know, Ona Hashem, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati Lefanecha. Right? I did this sin, I did that sin, I did this sin, I did that sin. You've asked somebody, what is teshuva? And they might have said that teshuva is tefillah. You might have said that teshuva is a form of prayer, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara in this regard refers to what we call teshuva as shinoi ma'aseh, as changing actions. Yeah, it's interesting. If that's correct, and we want our teshuva to be a game changer, we want our teshuva to tear off the decree, to be ma'avirin or mekarin, as gzardino shel adam, to pass over or to tear the decree against us, our teshuva needs to be a teshuva of shinoi ma'aseh, a teshuva of changing our actions. It cannot just be that we come into shul and we stand before God on Rosh Hashanah and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the King. And then we stand before God on the Yom HaKippurim and we say, Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha, Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did this, we did that, we did this, we did that. And then we turn around and then Yom Kippur is over. Oh, L'Shana Hababi Yerushalayim, it's very nice, it was beautiful. That cannot be the be-all and end-all of teshuva. Teshuva, if we want it to work, to tear up the decree, if we want to be ma'avirin esroa ha-gezeira or mekarin gezardino shel adam, whatever phraseology you prefer and you like better, teshuva needs to be shinoi ma'aseh. Now, that's very, very hard. That's very, very hard. Now, we come in Yom Kippur and we stand before God and we say and we think and then we find ourselves back in Elo all of a sudden. Elo sort of creeps up on you. You know, you just look back and goodness me, it's Elo already. Wow, Rabbi Fayyim, I've been here for that long? Really? Crazy, right? Elo already. As a way of creeping up on you and you look back at the year that was and we really stood last year on Yom Kippur. We stood there with really good intentions and we thought, no, this year we're going to do this different and we're going to do this better and we were serious, we were legitimate and yet somehow it doesn't always quite work out that way. Somehow we come back around to Elul and the Teshuvah doesn't seem to have worked out quite exactly as we had planned it. So I once heard from Rabbi Twersky in Yeshiva University, Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, who suggested that perhaps the teshuva doesn't work out as well as we plan it because we don't have a good enough plan going in. Allow me to try to explain. If you want your teshuva to be a shinoi ma'aseh, you need to have a plan. Let me give you an example. Let's assume for a second that somebody, I'm just somebody, I haven't had personal experience. Let's assume that somebody wanted to do more exercise, for whatever reason that they wanted to do such. And they thought to themselves, you know, I need to get healthier. I need to do more exercise. I need to do it. And they were serious. They really meant it. They weren't kidding around. I need to do more exercise. I'm going to do more exercise. And that's the end of the thought process. That's it. That's all they... You know what happens the next day? They wake up the next morning and they get out of bed and they say, I really got to get going. I'm going to do the exercise, you know, later this afternoon. I have some free time in between me. I have some time. I'm going to do it later this afternoon. They're going to get to work. They're going to start doing work. They're going to get going in whatever it is that they're doing. That time slot's going to come and they're going to say, you know what? I can't do it right now. I'm going to do it later tonight. They're serious. The guy's not kidding around. He's serious. I'm going to do it later tonight. I don't know, when I get home, everything will be quiet. The kids will be asleep. He's going to get later tonight. Kids are going to be asleep. He's going to be very, very tired. He's going to take a cold Dr. Pepper. He's going to sit down on the couch with a Sefer. He's going to say to himself, you know what? I'll start tomorrow morning. And tomorrow morning, he'll do the same thing and the same thing. He's really serious. He really means it. He wants to do it. But if you want Shinui Ma'aseh to happen, if you want a change in your actions, Rabbi Twersky suggested you need to have a plan. Not just I'm going to do it, but how am I going to do it? And when am I going to do it? So if we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to do, we're going to learn more Torah this year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this year, really, you know, I wasted time last year. I watched too much of this series and I spent too much time following the Mets. And it's so painful to follow the Mets these days. It's good you don't know of such things, you know? But I spent too much time, whatever it is. This year I'm going to learn more Torah. But if that's all you say, and that's where it ends, it's going to be very, very hard for you to find the time to fill it in. So I recommend a plan. I recommend saying, I'm going to learn more Torah. I'm going to learn fill in the blank Sefer. I'm going to learn this book. Or, I'm going to learn more Torah. I'm going to go to this shiur. We have a nice selection of shiurim around town. I'm going to go to this shiur. I'm going to learn more Torah. I'm going to ask that person for a chavrusa. I just did it recently. I was sitting in the month of Elul. I was thinking about this year that passed, thinking about this year that was coming. I went up to somebody and I said, listen, I need you to learn with me. I said that to somebody else just last week. I said, I need you to learn with me. And I told them what I wanted to learn. And we're figuring out when we're going to learn it. You have to make a plan. You have to set a way. If you want teshuvah to turn into what the Gemara calls not teshuvah, but shinui ma'aseh, changing of our actions. You know, the truth is, though, that even with changing our actions, and even with teshuvah being what the Gemara calls a shinui ma'aseh, it is apparently not so simple that teshuvah should work. There's a couple of famous, I don't know about famous, but often quoted passages from the Talmud Yerushalmi, one in Masechta Makos, one in Masechta Sanhedrin, that I think shine particular light on the difficulty of teshuvah happening. Gemara Yerushalmi in Masechta Makos, Perek Beis, Halacha Vav. The Gemara writes, where is it? There it is. The Gemara writes, Shalu l'chachma chote mahu oncho. Have you heard this Gemara before? No? Well, it's a good thing that I'm good. Good. The Gemara asks, that they asked chachma, they asked wisdom, what should become of the sinner? What is his punishment? And so Chachma said, Amru lahem chata'im tirdof ra'ah. Those who sin should be chased by evil. That's what you get. When you sin, you get badness. You get evil when you sin. That's what you deserve. Sholu l'nevuah chote mahu oncho. They ask prophecy. What becomes of the sinner? What should he get? What is his punishment? Amra lahen, Nevuah said, HaNefesh HaChotas, HiTomus. the soul that sins, it should be put to death. Shalu lakudsha brichu, they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chote mahu onsho, what is the punishment of the sinner? Omar lahen, God said, yasu teshuva v'yischaper lo. He should do teshuva, and all will be forgiven. They ask chokhmah, and they ask wisdom, what happens when somebody sins? And wisdom says, when you sin, you get hit. They ask Nevuah, what happens when somebody sins? And Nevuah prophecy said, when you sin, you get hit. They ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what happens when you sin? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when you sin, you do teshuva, and all will be forgiven. It's not so simple that teshuva should work. By the regular laws of nature, perhaps teshuva should not. There's another Gemara in Yerushalmi. This one's Yerushalmi Makos, Perek Yud Halacha Beis. In Gemara Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Halacha Beis, the Gemara there writes an interesting story. A really interesting story. The Gemara writes a story about Menashe Melech Yisrael, Menashe the king of the Jewish people. Menashe was not a good king. We know Menashe? We know Menashe. Menashe was a bad fellow. Menashe put an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe killed his grandfather, was Yeshayahu. Menashe was not a good person. And the Gemara tells us about Menashe, or I should say the Psukim tell us about Menashe. The Psukim tell us that Menashe, at some point, he had some, you know, troubles that he couldn't get rid of, and so Menashe does teshuvah. Menashe does teshuvah. And the Gemara tells us about when Menashe does teshuvah. Do we know this Gemara? Okay, good. I thought these Gemaras were, you know, like, were quoted. But good. These are Gemaras that we should know. We should know. The Gemara says that when Menashe came to do teshuvah, Menashe said the following. Oh. Kevon sherosh et saraso tsara lo hiniach olam hazeh. Menashe saw that anything that he was doing was not helping him to get rid of this pain that he had. And anything he tried, it wouldn't work. He tried all sorts of different things that Menashe saw. It didn't work. So he said, Omar Menashe said, Zachor ani shehoya abi mikare osias apasak hazeh beveis kineses. I remember once upon a time when I was a little kid that my father used to tell me when we were standing in the shul, a pasuk in Devarim, he used to tell me, Bitzar lecha, when you had troubles and tribulations, Umitzaucha kol advarim ha'ele ba'acharis hayomim, and all these bad things would find you. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha vishamata bikolo, you will return to God and hear His voice. Ki el rachum Adonai Elohecha lo yarpecha velo yashchisecha. Because God is merciful, and He will take you back in. Velo yishkach es bris avosecha asher nishba lahem, and He will not forget the promise that He made to your forefathers. Menashe said, Hare ani koreosa. I will call out to God. Im one osi, mutav. If He answers me, wonderful. This headache is killing me anyway. V'im lav, hakol ap yeshavim. And if He won't answer me, what difference does it make? I tried 100 other things, and they didn't work either. So what do I have to lose? Menashe says. It's not exactly the greatest paradigm of teshuva. If you were thinking of one of yourself. And so Menashe davens to HaKadosh Baruch. And the Gemara says, V'hoyu malochei hashoreis misatminis hachalonos shelotale tfiloso shel Menashe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. The angels in heaven started closing the windows and the doors into heaven so that God should not hear the tefillah of Menashe. You hear this Gemara? Menashe is sitting on earth and he's davening to God, and the angels in heaven are locking him out, closing the windows and the doors. V'hayu malachei asharis omrim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the angels said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Adam she'avar avodah zarah v'hem mitzelim b'heichal ata mekablo b'teshuvah. God, this guy, he worshipped idols his whole life. He brought an idol into the Beis HaMikdash. And you're going to accept his teshuva. The angel said, this teshuva business has gone too far, God. And they locked the windows and closed the doors, trying to keep Menashe and his prayers from ascending to the heavens. Omar Lahem, God said to them, Im eini mikablo b'teshuva, hareyani noel es hadeles bifnei kol ba'alei teshuva. If I won't accept Menashe, then I am closing the doors to people who want to do teshuva. God says, people will say, God didn't listen to Menashe's teshuva. God doesn't accept teshuva. Ma'asa, what did God do? The angels were blocking, playing defense. What did he do? Asa lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chiter lo chatira mitachas kisei hakavod shelo. God took a shovel and he dug a hole underneath the Kisei HaKavod. So they had the angels, you see it? You had the angels playing defense and blocking the windows and the doors, and God opened up the secret passage underneath the Kisei HaKavod. So Menashe's tefillahs came up into the heavens. It's an interesting machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and the Chachamim, whether Menashe has a portion in the world to come or not. To what extent did God accept Menashe's tefillah? It's an interesting machlokas in the Gemara. But we see from these two sources, the reason why I quoted for you both of them, is that we see from these Gemaras that it's not so simple that teshuva should work. Even when we do it. And even when we do it right. You ask Chachma what should happen, you should get hit. You ask Nevuah what should happen, you should get hit. You ask the Malachi Asharis what should happen. We close the doors. We close the windows. And we lock you out. And yet somehow, some way, and for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows teshuvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows repentance. He allows us to come back, to tear up that evil decree. You know, it's interesting, this Gemara is very scary, this Gemara about Menashe. Do you know why I think this Gemara is very scary? I don't know if you were thinking this when I just read it to you. Why does God forgive Menashe? You know what I would have liked for the Gemara to say? I would have liked for the Gemara to say, he's doing teshuva. The angels come to God and they say, he's a bad guy. And God says to them, oh, but look at his teshuva. But that's not what happens. It's not. The angels come to God and they say, he's a bad guy. And what does God say? If I don't accept bad guys, people will think that they can't do teshuva. You know what it sounds like from this Gemara? It sounds like you can reach a point where God no longer wants your teshuva. God may feel compelled to take it. God may have other exterior forces that are pushing him in that direction. But this Gemara is scary. You know, when I was in grade school, my teachers always told me that you can always do teshuva. You can always come back. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how far. You can always do teshuva. You read this Gemara, and you start to think. If you've ever learned the Rambam Shmona Prakim, you start to think a little bit more. Because the Rambam writes in the Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam wrote an introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is exactly 8 prakim long. And so he ingeniously called it Shemona Prakim. 8 chapters. That's the name of the book. And so the Rambam in the Shemona Prakim, in the 8th chapter of the Shemona Prakim, I don't want to take the Rambam out of context, so I'm going to give you a little bit of context. The Rambam writes that we all have Bechira, free choice. That's the Rambam's context. The Rambam's context is free choice. And the Rambam says, we all have free choice. And the Rambam says, it has to be that way. Because if we didn't have free choice, then we couldn't have reward and punishment. I cannot be rewarded, nor can I be punished for something that I could not choose willfully to do. That's the Rambam's basic argument. Makes sense to everybody? Makes sense to me. That's the Rambam's basic argument in the 8th parak of Shmona Prakim. And then the Rambam challenges his assertion. Are you ready for this? This is scary. This Rambam is very scary. The Rambam challenges his assertion. And the Rambam says, open up a Chumash Shemos and look at the discussions that God has with Moshe Rabbeinu about Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Paro Melech Mitzrayim is hit with plague after plague and makkah after makkah. And you know what the Torah says in a number of places over there? The Torah says that God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'hichbadeti es libo v'es lev avodav l'man shisio sosai ele bikirbo. God says, I will harden Paro's heart. I will not allow him to let the Jewish people go so that I can make greater signs and wonders against him and his people. And the Rambam asks, now hang on a second. If Paro did not have free choice, if God hardened his heart and did not allow him to send out the Jewish people, then how is Paro continuously punished for not doing something he was not allowed by God to do? Everybody understand Rambam's question? It's a good question, right? Famous question. Okay, good. It's a good question. The Rambam answers. You know what the Rambam's answer is? You know what the Rambam says? The Rambam says, God did not punish Paro for his failure to send out and release the Jewish people from the point that he hardened his heart for. Did not punish him. Did not. Do you know what God did? The Rambam says. What does it mean? The Rambam says, I hardened his heart. Rambam says, God says, I will not accept his teshuva. You know why Paro Melech Mitzrayim got punished with makkah after makkah and plague after plague, the Rambam says? Because he initially enslaved the Jewish people. He initially gave them hardships and suffering. He did all sorts of terrible things to them. And then God started bringing the plagues. And you know what would have happened at that point? Paro would have said, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did this. Umitzaucha kol haro sa'ele v'hisigucha, like the psukim say in Devarim, like Menashe learned when he was a kid, but sa'alecha. When all of these things start going wrong, Paro would have woken up and he would have said, I can't believe I'm doing this, and he would have done teshuva. And you know what God did? V'hichbadeti es libo v'eslev avodav. God said, no, Paro, it's too much. You have crossed the Rubicon of teshuva. The point of no return is beyond you. You cannot go back. The Rambam would have argued with all of my elementary school teachers in the yeshiva of North Jersey. The Rambam clearly believed that you can reach a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer wants your teshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer interested in hearing your repentance. Now that's uber scary. I don't know about for you, but it is for me. Which is why I like to believe some of the other Rishonim and not necessarily Rambam. I'll give you, for example, Don Isaac Abarbanel. In his parish on these very same psukim in Shemos, v'ichbadeti es libo v'es lev avodav, so he says a very fascinating pshat. He says, what does it mean that God hardened Paro's heart? He says something very, very interesting. You ready for this? He says, anybody who would have seen the miracles in Egypt would have been robbed of their bechira. You hear it? Somebody would have seen all of the plagues that God brought in Egypt. How could they possibly have chosen not to let the Jewish people go? I'll give you an example. We say, I always have free choice. I always have free choice, right? Everybody with me? I always have free choice. So, for example, I have the choice to not pay my electric bill. Is that really a choice? I mean, yeah, it is. I have a choice to not pay my electric bill, but the consequences would be that I have no electricity. In the modern world, living the life that I've lived and grown up in, that's not exactly much of a choice. I have a choice to not eat today. Is that a choice? Yeah, it's a choice. I could choose to not eat today, but the result would be, I don't mean only today, I mean in general, I could choose to stop eating. The result would be that I would die a slow and most probably painful death if I decided not to eat. So it's not exactly a choice. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? You can have a choice which the consequences of are so obvious and catastrophic that it's not really a choice. Everybody with me? Yeah, it's a choice. I can choose it. But the consequences are so obvious and great that you would never make such a decision. Abarbanel writes that when Paro saw the plagues that God brought against him, when he saw the obvious hand of God, it was not a choice to release the Jewish people. Of course he had to release the Jewish people. It was not a choice to continue to be hit by plague after plague. So God had to give him choice. You know how God gave him choice? V'hichbadeti es libo. I had to harden his heart. I had to level the playing field, Abarbanel says, with Paro. God didn't take away Paro's ability to do teshuvah. Paro could have done teshuvah, it would have ended sooner, Abarbanel says. But God leveled the playing field. You know, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the beginning of Sha'arei Teshuvah, the very beginning, the very first paragraph of Sha'arei Teshuvah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, this is the Sha'ar Rishon Os Aleph. Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'im hirbu lifshala v'limrod uveged vogdim bagadu. If you continue to add sin and iniquity, and you sin a lot and a lot, lo sagar ba'adam dalsei ha'teshuvah. God does not close before you the gates of teshuvah. I believe this is a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, whether you can reach a point where God closes the gates of teshuvah. And I like to believe that Rabbeinu Yonah is correct. I hope. I don't know. But I like to believe that Rabbeinu Yonah is right. That no matter how far we go, no matter what we do, lo sagar ba'adam dal seha teshuva. You know what's interesting? If it's not so simple that teshuva should work, you know, the Noda B'Yehuda has a fascinating shaila. Noda B'Yehuda is in Noda B'Yehuda, Medura Kama, Chilak Orachayim, Simid Lamed Hei. Noda B'Yehuda has the following shaila. Are you ready for this shaila? This is not a good shaila. This is not a good shaila. Noda B'Yehuda said, someone asked Noda B'Yehuda, there was a fellow who was involved in an affair with a married lady. Now, when that happens, there are a number of different halachic, you know, repercussions of an illicit relationship like that. And fellow came to Noda B'Yehuda, and he'd done a lot of teshuva. He felt terrible. Done a lot of teshuva. And he asked Noda B'Yehuda, do I have to tell everybody who needs to know because of all of the halachic ramifications that would affect the different people, do I need to tell them? Or can I just sit on it? Pretend it didn't happen. And so Noda B'Yehuda, he answers whatever he is, he answers, that's the shaila. But in the context of this shaila, Noda B'Yehuda discusses the following scenario. What happens if a person perpetrates a crime that is punishable and Beis Din by death? Let us say that a person violates the Shabbos. Yeah. Violates the Shabbos under certain circumstances with the correct amount of witnesses and the correct amount of warnings, so he gets the death penalty. And let's say that it takes a while until we get those witnesses into court. And so from the time that the guy does it until the time that the case is finally decided in the Beis Din, years go by. Does that ever happen, by the way, in court? The trials ever take years? That happens sometimes? Death penalty cases, certainly, sometimes they take a long time. No, the Yehuda says, what happens if in the middle the guy does teshuva? The guy does teshuva. Years go by, and in those years the guy fasts, and he, I don't know, whatever, what do you associate with teshuva? Whatever it is. Right? He does tremendous amount of tefillah and alchei, and charata, we see how terrible and remorseful he is. Azivas acheit, he keeps Shabbos better than anybody else. The guy becomes the posek of Hilchos Shabbos. Whatever it is that happens, use your imagination. The guy does teshuva. And now finally, years later, after all of this teshuva, we have all of the witnesses and everything, and based in Paskins, he violated Shabbos. Death penalty. So, would we kill him? Or is teshuva get you out? What do you think, by the way? What do you think? No? We come to God with all of these things. And we say to God, God, listen, don't hit me, I'm going to do teshuva. Right? Well, hang on a second. Though the Yehuda takes a step back, right? Well, we have a Beis Din also, right? We have a Beis Din also. So another Yehuda asks, would teshuva work? So another Yehuda says it cannot be. Another Yehuda says it cannot be. Teshuva cannot get you off the hook. Another Yehuda says, if that were the case, then we would never have any punishments in Beis Din. A guy's going to be standing there. The guy in the basement's going to be holding the whip. And the guy's going to be cowering and shaking. And how are we going to hit the guy? The guy's standing right there. And he's crumbling before us. We would never have punishment in basement. No, W. Huda says. You say, are you going to kill a guy? You're walking the guy out, you know, up to the third story to throw him off. The guy's not going to, you know, not going to have teshuva? No? You're warming it. Easy, Dredd. Easy. I'm with you. Avram, did you have a question also? You were just getting comfortable. Okay, good. Yeah? Easy. We'll get there, Brett. We'll get there. But no, the Yehuda says it can't be. Shuvah does not get you off the hook. Beis Din would kill him. Whatever it was that Beis Din would do. Shuvah doesn't get you off the hook. It's amazing, isn't it? The Chidah writes something very interesting. The Chidah writes, you know, listen. Maybe Shuvah really should work. But you know what? We can't assess teshuvah. How am I going to assess if this guy really does teshuvah or not? So I have no choice but to implement the punishment. Teshuvah will not work in Beis Din, not because teshuvah doesn't work, but because how am I going to know if he really did teshuvah or not? God knows, so God says teshuvah works. But we can't know. We can't know. I'm saying it's not so simple that teshuvah should really work. You know, Rav Tzadok in the Takanas HaShavin in the 8th parak. Anybody taking notes? I did just say Rav Tzadok in the Takanas HaShavin in the Simen Ches. So Rav Tzadok questions this chida, and Rav Tzadok says, "No, the chida he doesn't think is right because there's a halacha in death penalty cases that safek nefashos lahakel. When I have a doubt in a death penalty case, I never kill the guy. Whenever we have any doubt." In a death penalty case, we won't kill the guy. So if Tzadok says, so if the Chidah is right, and maybe the guy did teshuvah. Now if I knew he did teshuvah, I can't. But if I knew he did teshuvah, he'd get off. If I'm doubtful if he did teshuvah, I have to let him off. So if Tzadok doesn't like this Chidah, but any way you slice it, for whatever reason and rationale you want, teshuvah does not work in Beis Din. Teshuvah does not work in Beis Din. Carl?
The act of death itself
is teshuvah,
right?
Is a kapara. It's not a teshuvah, it's a kapara. It's a kapara. Those are different terms. We've spoken about it during the Shari Teshuvah. I can explain it to you afterwards if you don't remember or if you weren't there. But they're not the same thing. Kapara and teshuvah are not the same thing. It's not simple that teshuvah should work. Even with Shinoi Masa, it appears as if Teshuvah only works due to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch, due to the greatness of God. And Rav Tzadok in that same piece, in Takanas HaShavin in Simen Ches, Rav Tzadok asks, well, why is that true? It seems a little bit strange. Why is it that Teshuvah is not so simple? Why is it that Teshuvah does not really work? Why is it that teshuva shouldn't be obvious? Rav Tzadok asks the following. Let's say somebody does you wrong. And the person comes to you broken and remorseful and a changed individual. The person comes to you with charata and he does vidui. A guy comes to you remorseful and broken and down and he says to you, I'm so sorry I did this to you. I apologize. Real charata and vidui, and he says, aziva sachei, I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to be careful and I'm going to do this to make up for. The guy comes to you and he goes through that whole process. Wouldn't it be cruel to turn the guy away? No. Shouldn't we accept such a person? Is this a bad question? If Tzadok asks, I hear it a little bit if you tell me no. The guy did me wrong and I'm hurt and, you know, forget him. But I think, that somewhere deep inside, I think we all recognize, at least maybe because we're American, I don't know, maybe because we're Jewish, one of the two, I'm not sure. But I think that Rav Tzadok's question is a good one. Why is it that Chochma doesn't recognize the concept of Teshuvah? You ask Chochma what should happen, you should get hit. Why is it that Nevuah doesn't recognize the concept of Teshuvah? You ask Nevuah what should happen, you should get hit. Why is it that the angels lock the windows and the doors and God has to tunnel out from underneath? Why is it that some of the Rishonim thought that you can reach a point of no return? Why is Teshuvah not the obvious default position that when you sin and you mess up, you can have remorse and apologize and make amends? Rabbi Soloveitchik, in Ala Teshuvah, and this is what I've been trying to get to, Rabbi Soloveitchik in Ala Teshuvah, this is in the very beginning, not in the very beginning, in the first piece of the book. It's on page 46 and 47 of the Hebrew version of Ala Teshuvah. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. That's where my other bookmark is. It's on page 24 and 25. Sorry, wrong bookmark. So we'll get there one of these upcoming weeks. I don't remember which one. But it's on page 24 and 25 of the Hebrew version. Rabbi Soloveitchik asks another age-old and famous question about Teshuvah. We say in the Yud Gimel Midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kel Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emes Notzer Chesed La'alofim Notzer Yavim Fesher V'Chatov V'Nachim. And it's a very famous Shiloh. A lot of the Rishonim and the Achronim were troubled and they were bothered. Well, we say in that sentence that God is both Chesed and Emes. Now, generally speaking, those two concepts don't always run together. Chesed means kindness, above and beyond. Emes means truth, justice, letter of the law. So which is it? Is God Emes or is God Chesed? Which of the two? And they ask specifically about Teshuvah. The Rishonim and the Achronim ask. Is the fact that I can do Teshuvah, is that Emes or is that Chesed? Am I supposed to be able to do Teshuvah or is Teshuvah just by the grace of God that I am allowed to come back, repent, and receive atonement for my sins? And you have different Rishonim and Achronim who chose different sides of the coin. Some say that Teshuvah is Emes. Like we said, you're supposed to forgive. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you have others who say, no. Teshuvah is just Chesed. Teshuvah is just kindness. You're not supposed to receive forgiveness or atonement or anything of the sort. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests that it could be both. There are different kinds of teshuva. And Carl, this will speak to you, the distinction between kapara and teshuva. This works. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that first you have the teshuva of kapara. The teshuva of kapara. I did something wrong. I'm supposed to get a punishment. God forgives that punishment. I won't receive that punishment. That kind of teshuva, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is a teshuvah of chesed. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that there are different stages in teshuvah. There's a stage in teshuvah where I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then there's a second stage in teshuvah. A stage where I have shinui ma'aseh. A stage where I change my actions. Where I change who I am. I become a different person. No longer to ever repeat or put myself in a situation where I might repeat the actions that I made mistakes on in the past. And I start on a new path which is better and which is greater. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that there is teshuva which is emes. There is teshuva which is the strict just judgment. The justice, what's supposed to happen is when you leave the path that you were on. When you become a changed person, when you become a new person, a whole new individual, never to repeat or put yourself in a situation to repeat that which you did before, that is teshuva of emes. That is the teshuva which is, you're supposed to get. A guy comes to you broken and sorry and you're supposed to forgive him. Maharal writes in the Takanas, Maharal writes in the Nesiva Tshuva, yes, by the way, with Tzadok and Maharal. Maharal writes in the Nesiva Tshuva, in Perek Hey, the Maharal writes, do you want to know why Teshuva is Ma'avir Esroa HaGezeira? You want to know why teshuva is mekarin gizardino? Rabbi Soloveitchik writes it also in the Ala Tshuva. You want to know why teshuva uproots, tears up, circumvents, whatever word you want to use, the bad of the decree that you have coming to you? Because when a person does teshuva to its fullest extent, they're not the same person. They're not the same person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote a Gizar Din to punish a person who acted in a certain way, in a certain situation, and if I'm no longer that person, Maharal says, I'm no longer deserving of that decree. Now that's only if I do teshuva in that kind of full extent. Then Rabbi Soloveitchik says, there's a second kind of teshuva. The teshuva of kapara. The teshuva of kapara, I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say, God, I'm sorry, but I'm not ready to change. God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to try, but I might fall back. And you want to know what? God accepts that teshuva too. And that is a teshuva of chesed. That is a teshuva that Chochma says, no dice! What kind of teshuva is that? You're sorry, but you might do it again? I'm sorry, but I can't change fully? You ask Nevuah, should I accept such a teshuva? And Nevuah says, no way! You ask the Malachi Ashores, I'm doing teshuva because you know what? Nothing else worked. That's what Menashe says. Does that kind of teshuva work? The Malachi Ashores say, close the windows! Close the doors! But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tunnels out a hole underneath the Kisei HaKavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is open and willing. Yado Peshuto Rekabel Shavim. His hand is outstretched to accept those who want to return. God accepts any ounce of tshuva that will give Him. And with those small little bits of tshuva, He wipes away the decree that He had planned against us. Teshuva is not simple if you don't do it 100% right. You see, the teshuva of MS is very, very hard. To come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with real charata and real, say a real meaningful vidui, and have real azivas achet to be absolutely new people. I wish we could do it. Don't get me wrong. I wish we can do it. And maybe it's because I'm a pessimist. Maybe I'm a skeptic. I don't like to think so. I think I'm really an optimistic person. But I have a couple of years of life underneath my belt. This is not my first Yom HaKippurim that I'm gearing up and getting ready for. This is not the first time that I've read Rabbeinu Yonah's Sefer Sha'arei Teshuvah. And so perhaps life has jaded me a little bit on our abilities to, on a dime, totally switch and change and become new people. And so I want to share with you tonight a message of extreme hope and optimism. And that message is, there is a teshuva of kapara also. There is not only a teshuva of emes, but there is also a teshuva of chesed. There is not only a teshuva of, I'm never going to do it again, I won't go back, I'm a whole new person, but there's also a teshuva of, if I do it again, I'll feel bad. There's a teshuva of, if I do it again, I'll think twice about it. If I do it again, it'll make me feel worse after I've done it. There's a teshuva of, I'm going to have a plan, and I'm going to try. And I know I might fall back, but God, I'm going to try again. There is a teshuva of chesed. And mi yitein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have for all of us chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept and collect every ounce of teshuva that we give Him. We should provide Him with ounces of teshuva. We should provide Him with pounds of teshuva. We should provide Him not only with teshuva, but as we'll learn about next week with tefillah, and as we'll learn about the week after that with tzedakah, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to us, Salachti kidvarecha, and in fact be for us, Ma'aviren es roa hagezera, or if you prefer the language of the Gemara with which we started, Mikarin gizardino shaladam. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you again next week. Anybody who is staying for the Daf Hayomi, see you in Masechta Shavuot. close, just hang around right now. Have a great night.